Well, good morning. It's very good to be back with everyone. It's nice to join with you again today, and it's good to see a few faces that haven't been here for a while. It's nice when people start getting well again and can rejoin us again. But this year, you might have noticed, hopefully you've noticed, that our theme for 2022 is Life Together. And we launched this series earlier in the year, and we keep coming back to it every now and then when we've got a break in our series to go through what we're talking about when we refer to life together. Now, you might remember earlier on in 2022, the very first one that we preached on in this series was all about community and what does it truly mean to live in the Christian community. Then a couple of months later, around about sometime after Easter, Kylie preached about the day with others and how important it is to walk alongside one another, to connect with one another, to be with one another. And today we come to the third part of this series titled The Day Alone. And you might be thinking, well, that is strange when we're talking about life together. Why would we be talking about life alone? But it is highly important as we live life together. Now, I need to tell you, after a week at basketball and netball carnival, living life together, I have learnt a lot about people, perhaps too much, some information that I maybe didn't need to know. And you know, when you actually live alone, as I do, and you transport yourself into an environment where you are living with six other people, in our case, in our room, it's not enough beds for everyone, you know, it's very close, almost too close for comfort. But you know what? We need both, don't we? We need times of intense coming together as well as we need alone time. And I had the best time away with this group of young adults from Parramatta and from around Australia, all these different people. Actually, one of my favourite nights, I'm not sure if any of the guys who I interviewed said about this, but this was Friday night karaoke. So we were staying in the same building as our friends from Tasmania, and I got a text message saying, karaoke's on level 12. And so I said to the girls who were in the room at the time, you want to go do karaoke with Tasmania? And they were straight out the door. And then the boys were down having a spa in the pool area. So I went down to them and I'm thinking, I don't know, do boys think that karaoke's cool? Well, yes is the answer, because I went down and as soon as the words came out of my mouth, karaoke is upstairs, it was like, whoosh, there was a tidal wave. They all jumped out of the pool, wrapped themselves in their towels, and they were straight there. And you know what? It was hilarious. I feel sorry for people who were staying at the same accommodation as us because it was very loud, but it was a great night. And that's how you get to know one another, right? That's how you connect with people. You do something silly, in my case, definitely very silly. I'm not getting a call up to the worship team anytime soon. But you go and you do something like that and you connect with people. And we need that, don't we? We need that deep connection. But you know, just as much as I needed those intense times of people, I also needed my time alone. 10 to 15 minutes on the balcony each morning to take a breather. Or sometimes going to fill up the bus with petrol so I could go and get a coffee. I needed that time alone as well. We need both. And that's what I want to talk about today. We are all about community here. Hopefully you are getting that gist. And one of the pillars of our mission statement in the Salvation Army is to build healthy communities. But in order to be healthy with other Christians, in community with one another, we must learn to be healthy alone. We have to be healthy as individuals. We need time, focused, intentional time alone with God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is the author of the book that this series, this theme for the year is based upon, and I hope that you've had a chance to read this book. If you haven't, we've got a few more copies that we're willing to give away. You can get it from the Coorong website, but it's a great read. And he says this about life together. He says, only in the fellowship do we learn to be rightly alone, and only in aloneness do we learn to live rightly in fellowship. Only in the fellowship do we learn to be rightly alone, and only in aloneness do we learn to live rightly in fellowship. See, we need one another. We need to come together as the church. We need to encourage one another, sometimes correct one another when need be. But we also need that time alone, because if we come together as healthy individuals connected with God, how much better is it here? Our scripture today from Psalms 119 describes God as a place of quiet retreat. It says, God, you are my wraparound presence, and it becomes my shield as I wrap myself in your word. You know, I love that imagery of that wraparound presence. You know, someone sitting with a big blanket covered in the presence of God. Other translations say the place of quiet retreat is a place of refuge, a place of peace. But it is this place where we come to be before God in solitude. Earlier on in the psalm, as Alan said, there's 176 verses in this psalm. But throughout the psalm, this question is asked, how does a young person or how does any person live a good life? And the response is by living according to your word. The psalmist again might drift away and kind of says, you know, there's all these distractions going on around me or all this bad stuff happening. How do I know what to do? How do I know where to go, God? And it keeps coming back. Turn to God's word, drawing close to God, having that space of silent retreat. It is vital for us to find that quiet place where we can come before God and be directed. So important for us. And I know that for many of you, you've probably heard that message echoed out time and time again. And yet we need that reminder, don't we, to come and to make space to be before God. When I was a young youth leader, I used to go to a camp called YKMC. And, I'm skipping ahead. I'll tell you something else first. We'll get to that story in a second. But what I wanted to say was that the spiritual health of a congregation, of us as a community together, is truly dependent on the spiritual health of individuals that make up that congregation. Coming together is vital. We know that we need the local church. We need this gathered worship community. And I hope that as you come each week, you're refreshed and you're recharged and you're connected with one another. But 1 hour on a Sunday is not enough. It's not enough for you. It's not enough for me. We have to make room to prioritize the day alone. And you know, it's not just the psalmist. There's lots of examples in the Psalms of people coming and retreating before God. But actually, we learn from Jesus time and time again that the day alone is important. He takes time out to be with the Father, to reflect, to pray, to assess what's going on in his life. Jesus' world was a world full of distractions, especially as he began his earthly ministry. He was getting pulled in all different directions by all kinds of people. People wanted him to speak and heal and teach and lead. But what Jesus would do, we find that he would seek solitude. After a long day of ministry, even amongst the ministry, he would seek times to be alone with God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Sandwiched on either side of this verse is a whole lot of busyness. A whole lot of doing. There's crazy stuff happening in Jesus' world, and yet very early in the morning, he makes an intentional decision to get up, to go on a mountainside to pray. Jesus responds to the busyness of his life with solitude. He needs that to get him through. And I think if Jesus valued these moments alone with the Father, then perhaps it would do us good to value them as well. Henry Nguyen, I couldn't say it in the 9:30, I can't say it now either, but he is a great writer on spirituality, and I often quote him. And this week I read a quote from him talking about the quiet place that said, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life." that hit me this week. It's impossible to live a spiritual life. It means that we have to build it in. We have to find room to come to a quiet place before God, to be healthy, alone before God. And we have to find a rhythm that works for us and get into that rhythm. Now, I'm going to tell you about the story from when I was a young youth leader. This is probably the best and the worst illustration that I've ever heard. Best, because I've remembered it and it stuck with me. Worst, because it's disgusting, to tell you the truth. So I went to this workshop and it was all about discipleship and quiet time, how important it is to encourage our young people in the Salvation Army to make sure they're spending intentional time with God. Our youth pastors the same, everyone really, but it's focused on young people here. And this guy used an illustration of brushing your teeth. Now, I don't know about anyone else here, but I brush my teeth every day. Anyone else? Yep, good. Most of the time, twice. Sometimes, three times, depending if I've had any garlic sauce, kebab meat, anything that, you know, sticks with you. Now, the reality is, with brushing your teeth, it's a practice, it's a rhythm I've built into my life. But honestly, if I was to not do it for one day, it would probably be okay, right? Probably wouldn't notice, probably it's all right. Really tired at night, get straight into bed, don't brush your teeth, whatever. But if I went 2 days without brushing my teeth, I think I would begin to notice. It gets quite furry in there, right? Maybe other people I'm talking to might not notice, but definitely I would know. But then, after day 3, 4, 5 of not brushing my teeth, I pretty much guarantee all of your friends are going to notice, right? That smell, no one's going to want to come close. It's going to stink in there. It's going to feel gross to you. Now, this was compared with time alone with God. And you can see where it's going, right? You can skip a day. You probably won't notice. No one else will notice. It's okay. Sometimes we get busy. You miss a day. But you know, when you miss a couple of days of your quiet time, of that place of retreat, of quietness before God, actually, sometimes you start to notice. Might have been like, you know, a situation happens and it's like, oh, I kind of handled that pretty poorly, or where did that weird reaction come from? Start to notice. But then after a week, I think something shifts. More in the habit of not seeking time with God than seeking it out. And it impacts our moods, our decisions, our choices, our behaviours. And I know for me, it's not always in a really, really negative way. It's not always like I turn into a monster if I skip a week of doing my devotions. But it's in the little things, the little decisions. And I think that life is just better when I'm taking time to seek God, to understand Him more, to listen to His voice, because I'm a calmer person. I'm a better person for that time. But you know, the good thing about this illustration about brushing your teeth is it actually doesn't take much to change. Because even if you go a whole week without brushing your teeth, if you brush them, swirl around some Listerine, you're good to go, right? Your teeth don't fall out after a week of not brushing. You can change very quickly, and it's the same with spending time with God. If we miss a few days, if you miss a week, don't think, oh, you know what, I'll just start next year and every day next year I'll do my devotions. You won't. I guarantee it. Just restart. Get going again. Allow God to speak to you. So I just want to share with you this morning really quickly three practical things around building a rhythm of solitude and silence before God, coming before God, and why it's important. So the first thing that we have to do if we want to create this intentional time to hear from God, to get healthy in life alone so that we can be healthy in life together, is to build a rhythm. We actually have to start somewhere, set ourselves a goal for reading scripture, for quiet time alone. Luke 6:12, we see this example. It says, one of these days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying. Basically, he decides he's going to do it and he does it. It's fairly simple, right? Hopefully. But actually, it is kind of hard. Bonhoeffer, in his book, Life Together, suggests three purposes for this time spent alone. He says that we use it for scripture meditation, for prayer, and for intercession. So we come before God, we open His Word, we hear from the Word, we spend time in prayer for ourselves, for others, and hopefully we spend time listening to what God has to say. But you know, in a sense, the format of this time alone with God actually doesn't matter so much. If all you do some days is sit for 15 minutes in silence with your eyes closed, listening to what God has to say, actually, that's enough. It's about the intentionality, and over time, that will build. And you know, you might sit here and think, well, it was all well and good for Jesus to seek these times of retreat, but actually, I'm busy and I've got a lot going on and it's hard. It was easier for Jesus to do that because he was Jesus, right? But actually, I think Jesus shows us that it's not just about him. It's not just something that Jesus did because it was good for Jesus. In Mark 6:31, he actually takes the disciples on this same journey. It says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. See, Jesus didn't just go and seek the quiet place because it was Jesus. He actually wanted the disciples to do the same thing. In the midst of the chaos that they were facing, all that was going on around them, he says to them, come with me, come away by yourself and retreat. Carve that time out. So to me, that says, actually, Jesus wants that from us as well. He wanted that for his disciples. He knew that that would be best for them. And he wants us to do that the same as his disciples here today. Don't know if anyone's spent any time in a gym recently, but lots of the gyms that I've been to in the last 10 years or so have motivational posters stuck on the wall, right? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? No one visits the gym? Okay, that's fine. In a gym, there are motivational posters on the wall often. And one that I see at like every gym ever says this quote, a 30-minute workout is just 2% of your day. No excuses. 2% of your day, 30 minutes, right? That seems so tiny when we compare it to the rest of the day. But you know, it's the same with our time with God. If we replace that, a 30-minute time spent in prayer or devotion is just 2% of your day. You can scale it back even more to 15 minutes if you want. But basically what it's saying is we have all this time. We set time aside to be intentional with our exercise, yes, but also in our prayer life, in our devotional life. If you're a bit like me, this is more of a practical thing that I would encourage you to do. I love checking off a box. I love a checklist. So I use an app for my quiet time. And each day I get to go and I get to sort of tick off what I've done. And there's some examples on the screen. If you're technologically advanced and you want to download some apps, here are some great ones for scripture reading. They help you to kind of check it off. Usually they have a commentary that goes along with it. But you know, if you don't use an app and you prefer a paper Bible and some notes, I'd encourage you, go and write down every day of the month and check it off each day when you spend your quiet time. It's actually a great practice in building a rhythm, seeing how many days you can kind of do in a row and seeing how that practice impacts you. And if you don't know where to start with scripture reading or you've been struggling to get into the Word, I want to invite you to come on a journey with us. We're about to start a new series in the book of Proverbs in 2 weeks' time. The Monday after we start that series, I'm going to read one proverb a day for the next 31 days. And if you would like to do that, I'd invite you to do it. Maybe you want to say to the friend, person sitting next to you, yeah, let's do this together. Let's share about what we read. But that is a simple start. Coming before God, reading the scripture, and asking what it has to say to us. And you know, I just want to say as well this morning, especially in this room where there's many people who have been on the journey for lots of years, if you already have a good rhythm, that is fantastic. Don't stop. Keep going. But I want to encourage you to be like Jesus and to take someone else on that journey. Perhaps there's a young person that you can reach out to or encourage, maybe it's your own children, to actually say to someone, hey, do you want to do devotions together? Or do you want to read the same thing at the same time alone? I do that with a friend all the time. We do the same reading plan once a week. We check in about what we've been reading and we share with one another. And that helps to keep me on track as well. So we have to build in the rhythm. And then the second thing is we have to make room for the rhythm. Now, you might think that that's the same as building the rhythm, but actually I think that it's not. Because I can write 27 checklists and do none of them. I can plan all I want, but unless I actually make room in my life to have this space to come before God, it doesn't happen. And in Matthew 14, 23, again, Jesus dismissed people and he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Actually, Jesus had to make room and space in his life, not just have the intention to spend quiet time, but to make room, to take himself away. Now, we might not all have a mountainside we can go up to pray, but I'm sure that you have a chair somewhere in your house or a space that you like to be, a cafe that you like to go to where you can set aside time to come before God. You know, there's so much noise, so much distraction in our world that it can be really hard to find moments of solitude. And I want to encourage you this week. Perhaps you might start, yes, it would be great if you can set aside 30 minutes a day to spend time in scripture and in prayer, but maybe as a start this week, you could just look for the small moments of solitude in your life. Perhaps it's when you're driving the car. I sometimes, if I've had a big day, I like to turn the radio off. It's awkward because it's silent and it's just my thoughts, but actually sometimes that 10 minutes, it helps me to reset, to reconnect. My favourite moment of solitude in the day, first sip of coffee in the morning. Anyone know what I mean? Yeah, that, whew, you know. But look for those small moments of solitude. And when you look for those moments, perhaps you'll discover, well, actually, this place works for me. This is where I connect with God. If you have a small moment of solitude in a certain place in your house, maybe that's where you need to go each day to do your devotions, to connect. Find your quiet place. And when you do make room for that to happen, we need to take the pressure off ourselves in those moments. We are not called to be deep theologians, every one of us, every time we come before God. In fact, Bonhoeffer says, we do not ask what the text has to say to other people. What he's saying in that is it's not about everyone else. It's not about getting the exactly right theological Greek, Hebrew, whatever word in that moment. That's important, don't get me wrong. But actually, when we come before God, it is not about what everyone else is saying. It is about, God, what do you have to say to me in this moment through your word, through your voice, and let me hear that. So take the pressure off. You don't have to solve all the theological problems in the world in your 20-minute devotions. But you do have to keep asking God, what do you have to say to me? And then if he challenges you on something, I'd encourage you, go to someone else, speak to someone else about it, because that's important as well. But we ask, what does the text have to say? What does God have to say to me? And then the final thing that we need to do as we seek this space to come before God is that we must grow dependent on the rhythm. We must need this time alone, grow to a place where we are completely aware when we don't have it. Matthew 14, 13 says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. When something in Jesus' life rocked him, what's the first thing that he does? He retreats to a silent place. Jesus must have known, I think, that he really needed that quiet time alone. And it's my hope that for each one of us, we become so dependent on our quiet time that we would actually know when our breath starts to smell, right? That actually we would know, oh, I haven't spent time with God today, and it makes a difference in our life. You know, I think that this is one of the downfalls of our very middle-class society that we live in. Actually, most of us aren't dependent on very much. In fact, society often tells us, be financially stable, be this kind of stable, be that kind of stable. Don't depend on anyone. Which then sometimes makes it hard for us to depend on something like this. But I want to challenge you, grow dependent on your time alone with God. May it be foundational in your life. Because life in community for us here is really dependent on our life as individuals alone with God. And I want to suggest that if we are people who are coming before God as individuals, taking time to seek Him, to listen to His voice, even though we might hear nothing, but actually people that are carving out that intentional time, that our life together in community here will be so much richer and healthier because as individuals, we're spending that time allowing God to transform our hearts. Author Thomas Merton writes that solitude is not something you must hope for in the future. Rather, it is the deepening of the present, and unless you look for it in the present, you'll never find it. We are always going to be too busy, too distracted to take time to spend with God. But unless we search for it in the present, we're never going to find it. I don't think there's ever going to be a better time. You might have thought that you would be less busy when you retire, but I heard that you just get more busy when you retire, right? There's never going to be a point in life for most of us where nothing is going on, and it's easy to spend this intentional time. So we have to look for it in the present. The responsibility of our spiritual health falls on us as individuals. So that's my challenge for you today. Set aside that intentional time. Build the rhythm, make room for it, and then grow dependent on it. And if you are already in a great place with all of that stuff, I want to encourage you, continue on that journey. But perhaps today you might consider how you might help someone else in our faith community to build that rich rhythm into their life as well. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you teach us in your word. And we thank you that through the example of Jesus, we can see how to live that out. So God, I pray that you would continue to speak to us as we set aside time in our busy lives, in our busy schedules, to come before you in solitude, in reflection. And God, I pray that that time would be rich for each of us. God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would show us what you want to do us to do in any given situation. And God, even at times when we might struggle to hear your voice or to know which way you lead us, that actually we would be assured of the fact that you continue to transform our hearts because of that time. And God, we pray that as we do that as individuals, that life together here would become so much richer because of what we are learning and the ways that we're being transformed. So help us both to live alone well and in community well as well. We ask all these things in and through your name. Amen.